before you were even formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. You know what that means, that he knew you? Is that he already knew all about you. He already had everything in his heart and his mind about who you are, what you're going to look like, what you're going to be like, and all of the ingredients that you would need to fulfill your purpose and your destiny is already inside of you. But guess what? They're not just for you. I mean, I can tell you that when you're walking in what God has called you to do and to be, there is a satisfaction that comes that nothing else can fulfill. But in Christian society in America, we are often very much satisfied with what we know we have already done. And so we give ourselves a check mark and let ourselves off the hook for pressing in further. We were singing these songs today, and we were singing, I'm going to praise, I'm going to shout my way out of the valley, I'm going to shout my way up to the mountain. We say it, and we sing it, and we memorize it, but are we taking the action to do it? Because what God has called us to do to fulfill our purpose is going to be costly. It's going to be costly. When we talk about being in a war, there is a war for your soul. That means there's a soul, there is a war for your attention. There is a war for your affection. There is a war for you to get out of the natural into the spirit. Do you think Satan likes this when you get excited about God, when you start... But we can sing all day long here. Listen, we are a worshiping church. If you think that we can't change atmospheres, all I need to do is call Danielle or Leslie up on the piano and say, just play, and the atmosphere changes immediately. If we go into warfare, it changes in a different way. We have learned that there's power in our praise, haven't we? There is power in our shout. There is power in what we say. But I've got something else to add to that today. There has to be power in what we decide to do. Because there is more to exemplifying Jesus on the earth than just talking about him. I just don't even know if we're talking about him enough. I mean, we're Christians. So if we're Christians, we're supposed to exemplify Christ. C-H-R-I-S-T. It's more than a word. It's him. He's the reason why we live and move and have our being. Oh, we like to say that. But is it true? Is he the reason that you live? Is he the reason that you move? Because if he's the reason that you move, you better watch where you're moving. He's the reason that I have my being. That means that this, everything I have, everything I am, has to be for him. Do everything as unto the Lord. Oh, boy. Okay, I can tell I'm not going to be doing that. Okay. Okay. Your purpose that God has designed you for is in your life because it depicts your worth according to God. But what is your worth according to God? It can only be known if you're actually hearing from God about what he is saying that needs to happen and you engage with what he wants to do. But guess what? We get to. And so the purpose that Jesus had for coming to earth, we learned before. What did I tell you that his purpose to coming to earth was for? What's my favorite part? Destroy the works of the enemy. I'm glad one person who takes notes remembered that point. See, this is when I want to. I'll just scream. Okay. Because we have these life-changing sermons that everybody gets excited about in the moment. And then we go home and we forget to destroy the works of the devil. Satan shows up and we pick up the phone. Who can I call that has some kind of relationship with God? Because I don't. Because I forgot. Let me like call on a person that I know has been with him, because, you know, I got distracted. I've been too busy. You know, I got up in the morning, there are too many things on my agenda. I got to get this done and that done and this done and that done. And besides that, somebody else needed my attention. And I had to give my affection to someone else, because, you know, Jesus doesn't deserve it. So here we are, a group of people who are called to be the church. I told you we were an army. I told you we're in a war, but when are we going to recognize what the war is like? And when are we going to do something about our actions? When are we going to realize that if we don't engage the way we need to engage, the enemy is going to run us over, and we're going to be so ineffective in the earth that who is Jesus counting on? Because he can't count on us. Because after all, we're busy. We live in America. We work too hard. I don't want to hear anything else about... Somebody actually said this. They go, when I get home... Well, this was not somebody at this church, so don't freak out. Somebody said, you know, I'm so busy fighting the war when I am at work that when I get home, I don't want to think about being in a war. I just want to relax in front of the TV set. So I just want you to leave me alone. I'm like, well, that's an aggressive Christian right there. That's a winner. That's a champion. We like to say we are more than conquerors, but what are we conquering? We can't even conquer our own emotions. We're not conquering how we feel. We're not conquering our distractions. We're not conquering enough to get ourselves up and gear up in order to engage in the battle, to win something that day, and to be who we need to be for somebody else's benefit. I said, for somebody else's benefit, not yours. Okay, I thought this was going to be really nice to a certain point. So Jesus came to show us the Father and to glorify him on earth. That's what he came for. His purpose, besides defeating the enemy, was to show us the Father and to glorify his name. Now, if we're tracking with what God has been saying, everything that Jesus was purposed to do, are you also purposed and designed to defeat the enemy? Are you? Okay. So if you're purposed and designed to defeat the enemy, and Jesus is our example, then we also have to follow him in this, that his purpose and design was to come to earth to glorify the Father and show us who he is. So therefore, is your purpose and your design to show forth glory to the Father and who he really is to other people? Yes. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then we have to know that how are we going to do that? We can't do it unless we've spent time with the Father and time with the Son, in order that when we are trying to exemplify him on earth to someone, we actually know about them. I mean, part of our problem as Christians is that we haven't anchored ourselves to this solid truth. God is good. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, the enemy comes. And things happen to you in your life. And then you start wondering if God is good. You start, well, I don't understand why this. And if God is so good, then why... You know, and we get all frustrated and we start blaming God for our life, the things that are coming against us, instead of recognizing we have an enemy and our God is good. If we don't have that as the foundation of our life and the truth of what we believe in, then when the enemy comes, we don't have a leg to stand on, so to speak. because God is good, and the Bible also says that he is working all things to our good. So even that thing that Satan got by with can be used for the good of God, because it just gave you another testimony, because you're on your way to shout up the mountain and shout yourself out of the valley. So if you know the principles of God in your life, you start applying those principles and things in your life begin to shift and they begin to change. And then you've got another testimony. You've got something that you can use, not only that you've won against the enemy, but to help somebody else win against the enemy. And so Jesus was going around. He was always glorifying the Father. He was always talking about him. He only did what the Father told him to do. Isn't that true? So we have to ask ourselves, are we only doing what the Father tells us to do? That means we have to check in. That means we have to be like going, God, is this your plan, my plan, or somebody else's plan? Okay, so he did everything he did, he acted out everything in his life to point people to the glory of his Father. Can you just see Jesus? He's so good. If you really know how good he is, you don't have a problem seeing all of the goodness of him written in the Word of God, and you should realize it also in your life. But when he's that good, when you know that he's that good, then you'll be like Jesus. Are we supposed to be like Jesus? Amen. So when Jesus was walking around, he's like, oh, let me tell you this story. Let me tell you about a sower that went out to sow. Let me tell you about the harvest. Let me tell you how that works. He's like, let me tell you about how good he is. Let me tell you about how he left everything to go after one pearl that was a great price. And so Jesus was always telling people about his Father and the goodness that he had, but he was also acting it out. He's like, do you want to see what my Father looks like? Be healed. You want to see what my Father looks like? Raised from the dead. You want to see what my Father, woo! All of a sudden he goes, virtue just left me, you're healed. Because you believed in the power that has been invested in me. You see? Okay, so Jesus is going around and he's just being what everybody else is longing for. And they're longing for answers. They're longing for power. They're longing for presence. And so that is what Jesus wants us to be, is that person that can handle his presence and his power. The one that has the answers for somebody who's struggling. Not just something that you thought about. Not just something that we have these things that we have memorized as Christians. You know, somebody says, well, I'm suffering from this. And we spit out some kind of Christian thing that we've memorized, but we don't believe we have the power for it. Well, hallelujah, Jesus said, by your stripes he's healed. Let me pray for you. Okay, Jesus, come heal that person. But where is the connection with the Father that you know that when you do that, they are actually going to get healed? Because it's not words that we speak that is going to make the difference. It's the words that we speak that are connected to him, that when we do an action, something actually happens because of it. In my dream, when I was, it wasn't because there was anything about me except for this. I knew who was in me that could do it, and I released his power, and by releasing who he was, that person got free. But what if you don't know what your Father's really like? And what if you're not walking in the enlightenment of who he is in that manner? What if you've never tried to lay hands on somebody and see them get healed? Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, try again. and then try again, and then try again, and then do it again, and then do it again, because faith takes action. It doesn't just give empty words. Okay. Whew. Jesus was always showing people that the love that the Father had for them too. So Philip said to him in John 14, verse 8, he said, "Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us." You know that Jesus had to control a slap right then. He's like, "What? What?" If Jesus could roll his eyes right out of his head, he would have done it right there. "Show us the Father and it's sufficient. I'll be satisfied if you just show me what the Father is like." Jesus is like, "Really, Philip? Really?" So he said, "How long have you been with me? And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has what?" So how can you even say, "Show us the Father"? Like, wake, boy. Okay, so we have to recognize, I think I shook my thing out, sorry. That's what I did when I pulled my hair, because, you know, I'm dramatic. If you saw any of the actions of Jesus, he's saying to Philip, if you saw anything I did, anything, were you there? Were you, you know, did you hear anything I said? Were you paying attention, Philip? Because whatever you saw me do, you're seeing the Father. Okay, so we would like to say, well, yeah, we have the actions of Jesus. Yeah, it's true. But I want to ask you this question. Who that is around you, who's ever come up to you and said, "Wow, when I was with you, I saw exactly what God was like. When we were walking down the road, I felt like I was with Jesus himself." Who's ever said that to you? When you're walking around in your everyday life, is the love of God and the power of God exuding from you to the extent that people would say, "Wow, I've been with him. Like, that person is different." I'm not talking about just doing it for the sake of doing it. You know, we sang that song about, oh, what was that last song? What was it? Nothing else. And wherever you are, that's where I want to be. I mean, we sing it, right? We don't want anything but him. We don't want anything. We want to sit at your feet, you know. There's nothing else I want. But then we leave. And we leave the community of the people of God who know how to worship him. And listen, he shows up here. But does he show up at your house? Does he show up in your car? Does he show up in your workplace? Does he show up in your everyday life? When somebody else is having a problem and they come to you, are you exuding Jesus to them? Are you able to be the Jesus with skin on now? Because we're filled with the same Holy Ghost that raised him from the dead, and we're supposed to be examples to those people around us. Are we those people? Or are we just talking a good talk? Because talking a good talk is not going to be working. Perilous times are not coming. They're here. You know, they go, "Well, perilous times are coming." No. Wake up. They're here. I saw that they had a map of all of the troubles that we have in America, and then they did another map of everybody who is dying from drug overdose. There were so many dots all over the map that you couldn't hardly see any ground. I mean, up in Oregon and all that was filled. I mean, there is some place, I don't know, maybe North Dakota, where nobody wants to live. There was a few dots. You know what I'm saying? But anywhere that there's any kind of population, people are being overrun by addiction. And they are being taken out by the enemy. And I know that God's grace is good. And if somebody's praying for them, there's always hope at the last minute. But what about those people? You think all of them went to heaven? Because that's a wrong doctrine. You know, all inclusive, everybody's going to heaven. No, they're not. That is not what the Bible says. Everybody's not going to heaven. Only people who choose him are going to heaven. And so we have to realize that there's a soberness in which we have to live our life. There's an awareness that we have to have of God's love and God's care, but there's also awareness that we have to have for our own responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Yeah, that is like the devil word right now. I mean, nobody wants responsibility. We want everyone else to take the responsibility so that when we need God, we have somebody to call. We want somebody to pay the price on the floor, praying and seeking God, but we don't want to get on the floor. I mean, that takes time, and besides that, it hurts. You know? We want somebody to cry out for God. You know, that's why we're inundated with prayer lists this long. You know, Cindy will pray. The prayer workers will come. They'll pray. We pray on Fridays. We pray on Tuesday night. Yeah, all five of us. Don't come to the church and stir up prayer because nobody's showing up, because we're not going to take action. We're just going to hope somebody else takes action. So we can feed off of their anointing and their relationship with God. I had no idea it was going to be this bad. Just saying. This is kind of in your face, because somebody's going to get in your face if you're going to start changing things. Because we all prayed and we're all happy about the shout and we're all happy about bringing change and we all agreed. I've had you agreeing with me for weeks that we need change. You all said you wanted to change. I haven't recorded. Okay. Just we could play it and you could see your face. You said you wanted to change. But now when change gets real, when changes causes you to have responsibility, when you care enough for people that you are deciding that you're going to give up every Friday night of your life until you die. Because the next generation is worth it to you. Oh, but it doesn't stop on Friday night. Oh my God. If you've ever been around them, they live, breathe, talk, pray, stay awake at nights, and care about teenagers. What? Oh, because they're action people. They took action. We're taking action to change children's lives. We're taking action. We're taking action. How many of you want a man? You know, there's something about, I mean, I'm glad I'm a woman. I'm glad I'm so powerful. I'm glad God didn't call me to be secondary just because I'm a female. I mean, I have that settled in the Word. I got no problem with that. But I'm going to say this. Men, there is something about you. There is something about you that we need. You know, I can bring the Word a different way than a lot of people can bring it, because I see it from a very sensitive relationship way. And so I'm in love with Jesus. I will proclaim it. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's me. Okay? But when a man stands up here and they've war for our families. Yeah, well, they did great, all six of them. I don't know how many there were, but not many. 10. Well, yeah, well, that's a pretty good percentage out of, you know, the size of your church. Shut up about the size of the church. Be the church. You want to do something? Be the church. Be the church in here. Show up when you're supposed to show up. Do your job when you're supposed to do your job. Get excited when you're supposed to get excited. Put your hand to the plow when you're supposed to put your hand to the plow. It is going to cost you something to be a part of the army of God. It is going to cost you time, talent, finances. And so, you know, we're the church. We're unstoppable. You stop all the time. Yeah, I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. Oh, yeah. And then somebody puts on the brake. Except for when I have to be there. What? You want me to go to church another night of the week to learn something? Dear God, yes, learn something. You know, we go to church on Wednesday nights and we're like, okay, this is great. The people who come get something, don't they? Yes. Well, then why aren't you coming? Ugh. Hello? The table's set. Nobody's eating. People spend time to get stuff ready for you. We have people back there. They're working in the media. They're working over there. People are praising God at the front. People have prayed to get it ready. People have studied to bring something. And then, but, you know, we're unstoppable. Unless I'm too tired after work. The church is unstoppable. Except for I don't feel like it tonight. Whoa. I'm unstoppable. Really? All Satan has to do is, like, put a pea in front of you, and you're like, oh, I have to eat. Like, he just waves a flag, and you're gone. You're like, okay, whoa, yeah, okay, I think I want to go to the movie. Okay, what? You know, or, oh, that thing was on TV. Oh, I need to watch the presidential debate. That'll do you some good. Oh, my God, help us all from presidential debates. Jesus. What we need to do is have the heart of God beating through our heart so much that we don't even care about that. We are praying for God's man to get in office. And how about letting him pick? Oh, boy. Okay. I can't even do that part. Okay. The Bible says this. You are supposed to love the Lord our God with what? With all of our heart? Oh, does that mean all? All. All of your what? So why are you giving your heart to everything else? You tell me, 100% you're giving your heart to God. Anybody? I'm working on it. Okay, that's good. With all of your what? Then with all your? Yeah. All your emotions are supposed to be about Jesus. I'm giving my whole, everything that I have in my soul, I'm giving that to God. I'm going to let him decide for me instead of me decide for him. Oh, boy. With all my mind, I'm going to think about him. I'm going to let him be the first thing I think about in the morning, the last thing I think about at night, and everything I think about in between. Somebody gets around me, they're going to hear about Jesus. They're either going to hear him, they're going to see him, they're going to feel him, but they're going to know Jesus has been around. Because we can live this kind of a life. And until we live this kind of a life, we're not obeying the first commandment that he gave us in the New Testament, which eradicates all the other ones. with all your strength, that means you got to be a radical person. Like, you know what? I'm a Christian. You know, I'm just not outgoing about it. Really? How outgoing about it are you when your kid gets run over by a car? Then you outgoing about it? Nobody's kid is going to get run over by a car in Jesus' name. I'm just saying, in an extreme case that happens in your life, all of a sudden you can get extreme. And all of a sudden you start, even if you never prayed in tongues, you might burst out in tongues in that moment because you're like serious about surviving. But you don't understand. We need to be serious about surviving right now, right here. So, the second commandment that's like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. And we can all quote that scripture. We can quote both of those scriptures. If you come to Liberty, you should be able to. Okay, so love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We say it. We memorized it. We speak it. But are we doing it? Are we doing it? You know, we memorize this one. Go and preach the good news to everyone everywhere. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We memorized it. Didn't we? So, all right, so I was listening to Francis Chan because Tirso got me started about thinking about him again, and he's crazy, and I like what he says. Okay, so he used this example, and he goes, what if I called my daughter in, and I said, hey, you know, Reveille, I want you to go in, and I want you to clean your room. And she goes in the other room, and she comes back, and she goes, you're going to be so proud of me. I went in, and I memorized what you said. Reveille, go in and clean up your room. Aren't you proud? And like, Tears is like, oh, come here, honey. That's so awesome. She would not. I've been at their house. Tears is like, I didn't say memorize it. I said go do it. So then she goes in her room, she goes back, and she goes, Mom, I'm so excited. I not only memorized it, I called 5 of my friends, and they're going to come over, and we're going to have a whole study about what is going to look like when my room gets clean. And we're going to spend 5 weeks studying about how to clean my room. It's going to be awesome. Are you getting the point? Okay, but nobody ever cleans the room. You know, there's like, go clean the room. You know, when the parents lose their mind and then you obey them, you know, you don't do anything until they scream at you, you know, because we train them to be that way. Well, God is up in heaven and he's going, hey, be the church. And we're like, oh, but, you know, we're doing good stuff. Yeah? Do more. Well, but it's going to cost me something. Yep. So the Lord said to me this week, he said, you need a spirit action plan. Oh, I was all excited about a spirit action plan because that means I can figure something out for you people. I'm like, okay, spirit action, yeah, let's go. Spirit action, I can figure out things. And so He goes, okay, here's what you need to do. He goes, you need to figure out what your strengths are, personally and corporately. What are your strengths? Oh, I do have that somewhere. Okay, wait. Hold up. Good at it, Liberty. I ask myself this. I ask other people that were at Liberty. What are we good at? What is our strengths? And God said, passion. We're passionate people. You passionate people? Okay. We have a loving atmosphere. People come in this church, they go, I felt love when I walked through the door. Isn't that good? Yes. Yeah, we're good at that. Prophetic release and word. We're good at the word. We don't preach without the word. What are we doing if we're not preaching? Preaching without the word, you're in trouble. Okay, worship. We are awesome at worship. I mean, yeah, we love to worship, and we have good worship people because they love to worship. And so their love for worship causes us to love to worship. Is that right? Okay. And now, if you don't enter into worship, they will beat you in the head and make you worship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've always said this, we're a presence-driven church. I'm so happy we're presence-driven. That means we're going to wait until we get into God's presence, and it doesn't matter what the rest of the service looks like because we've been with Jesus. Amen? So we're presence-driven. We're good about making sure we get in his presence. That's good. We have gifts of the Spirit in operation. We pray for the sick and they get healed. We prophesy over people. We pray in tongues. We have interpretation. We know what we're doing in the Spirit. It's just amazing. We're not some church. Can't do anything God asks us to do. We're active in those areas. Amen? We train people. I mean, my whole life is nothing but a training session. And I reach out to people and I train them, or they reach out to me and I train them, because I love to train people, because I'm in it to win it for you. I'm not in it to win it for me. I'm in it to win it. Okay? And we are prayer people. We have prayer for the ones who pray. We have lots of prayer opportunities. Okay? But here's our weaknesses. Did you all agree with those? Okay. Our weaknesses are engaging people through distractions. Like, we have to, like, I wish sometimes I had one of those long arms with a hand that would just slap you. Like, I see you back there sleeping, you know, playing games on your iPad when I'm giving the word of God. I'm going, you know, don't think I don't know what you're doing. You know, texting back and forth. Stop that. Okay. Engaging people through distractions. You know, it's like the enemy's always distracted and we follow his distractions. God's trying to get your attention. You're still distracted. Okay. Follow through. Oh my goodness, Jesus, help us. We have great ideas. We have great outreaches. We do connect groups and everybody gets on board. Yay, we're going to have a connect group. And then Pharaoh gets up here. We have music and he's dancing around. Everybody comes and we have all kinds of people show up. And we do all kinds of cool things. And we got cool ways of saying it. And then we're into it about 6 months and then nobody comes. I'm like, that was exhausting. Why? I don't know why. I don't know what the answer is to this. Engaging people through distractions and following through to the end. Evangelism. I hate to say it. Hello. Okay, so Jesus came to win the lost. When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Thursday! Awesome. Okay, we have a winner! Okay, but we're supposed to be spreading the good news. Is that right? How many of you won somebody to the Lord this year? Okay. A few. Okay. Okay, but are we satisfied with that? I mean, I should ask that every week, and I shouldn't say this year. I should say, how many people did you win to the Lord this week? Amen. And you should be like going, because the only thing we can take to heaven is souls. Yeah. I mean, real. Let's be real. What are we living this life for? It's just a vapor, the Bible says. I mean, I'm getting more mature. I'm getting more mature. And in my maturity, I have decided that there's only certain things in my life that even matter. I mean, What? When I get to heaven, I am not going to be able to hand Jesus a bunch of stuff I did. I'm not going to hand him all the places that I went. Unless I went there for him. Unless when I got there, I engaged with somebody for him. Unless he was the deciding factor of what happens wherever I am. Unless I'm connected to him and I'm hearing his voice and I'm doing what he asked me to do. You see, we have to have a spirit action plan. God said, find out what your strengths are, find out what your weaknesses are, and then come up with a spirit action plan and ask yourself this: what am I willing to do to overcome my weakness? Well, as history would tell us, not much. Not much. Because when we say we are, oh, this is so many pages. When we say we're willing to do whatever it takes, we're just reciting something we heard somebody else say. For the most part. You know, what are we going to do? I'm all out for you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I don't care about anything else but you. You're everything to me. All I want to do is sit at your feet. And God's like, that's great. Sit at my feet, but don't just sit at my feet. You know, I am transparently telling you that I am so convicted. I like sat at his feet when he was telling me all this, and I'm like, holy cow, what are we doing? Well, I didn't say holy cow because cows aren't holy. But I did say, holy God, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because it isn't just about his being a presence-driven church. How about being a church that is more than presence-driven? We're obedience-driven. How about we're sacrificial-driven? How about we take action instead of talk about taking action? What about the people who go, I'm so tired of church as usual. Ooh, if I hear it one more time. Church has to change. Okay, change. You're the church. What are you waiting for me? Be the change. What does that mean? Oh, I think it means this. I think it means show up. I think it means be hungry. I think it means read your word. I think it means declare the word. I think it means look for the person who's lost. I think it means take some action in your life that you haven't been taking. I think it means quit feeling sorry for yourself and start caring about somebody else. I mean, get all that compassion that you have for you and put it on somebody else. You are very compassionate about you. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, okay. Then the devil will come. And he will eat you for lunch. And then you'll be looking for somebody who is willing to pay the price. And that is the rotation. But that's not the way God wanted it. We're good at reading what he said. We're good at even saying what he said. We're like, we know the word. We can memorize it. We can speak it. But what are we doing about it? One of the things that we're really missing. We're really missing in being honest with one another, aren't we? Like, you know why? Because we have these devices people live on. Well, I got to play my game because nobody's going to beat me. Oh, this is funny. Oh, look. Okay. That's enough. Oh, my goodness. Go out to dinner Everybody's out in a restaurant. Everybody's got their phones. What? Give me that phone. Connect with somebody. How are we going to win the loss if we don't even know how to talk? I can't even talk to you. I don't even know. I have no communication skills anymore. And then we got all these Facebook people. They're a bunch of liars. You know, my life is perfect. Look. In the meantime, you've been in my office. Shut up. You know, I mean, I know about your life. I ain't telling nobody else, but you ain't fooling me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, what? Everybody's like, oh, my God, I have to live up to that now. Oh, my goodness. Look at this is how they organize their house. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Look at they look perfect. I got to lose 20 pounds today. How am I going to do that? Oh, I know. What's the latest craze? They're going to tell me. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to lose weight overnight. That's what I'm going to do. What is the latest craze? I don't know. Is he in here somewhere? Well, I don't know. Hey. You know, I mean, nobody's talking about anything if you can't find it on their phone. Oh, Jesus. I just want to say, you know, there's an app that'll tell you how many hours you spend on your phone in a day. You would be appalled if you let it be on your phone, which you ought to shoulda. And then we should have one of those apps for the Bible. And when we're done reading our Bible, it should like have an app that shows up and goes, you spent 5 minutes in your Bible today. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Help us. Okay. We should have that app. And then we'd be like, whoa, maybe we ought to spend a little bit more there because, you know, we look at how many hours we're on the phone. We're like, we ain't going to show nobody that, you know, because, like, that's embarrassing. You know, they said, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Oh, let me tell you something. You better be heavenly minded or you're going to be no earthly good. Exactly. You better get yourself up to heaven's rung where you can hear his voice and know what he's saying. And then you better get yourself back down to this earth where you're going to meet the difference that somebody else is looking for so that when they come running to you and they're going, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Then you go, yes, he can. Boom. Where are those Christians that can take action? Where's the church that's supposed to rise up? Do you think this is going to equip you for real? I don't have any time. I can't go to church. I don't have time for that. Really? Check how much time you have on your phone. Just take 2 hours out of your phone time and show up to be dedicated to the Lord together. You know, I believe in the local church. I don't know about other people. They're all like, they don't believe in the local church. But guess what? All those things we talked about earlier, none of that is happening if we don't have a local church. If we don't have fellowship with one another and we don't glean together and join a team and an army to accomplish things for what God wants to do for his kingdom on earth, then we don't need church. So when we stop caring for people together and making a difference in their life, we'll shut the doors. But as long as we are affecting people's lives because of our love for Jesus Christ and our love for them, we will remain. But we don't want to just remain. We want to press forward and we want to grab somebody and say, oh my goodness, I was with somebody. So I don't know where Francis has that part. Oh darn, I think it's towards the back. Okay, where's my... Oh, Francis, about the people that came to his church, do you know? No? Okay, this is why. Okay, because I already stole his part about his daughter, except for I used Ravine to support. Okay, just turn it on and I'm going to tell you where to go so I can hear where he's at. Francis said it better than me. I don't need to say out. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. I think he just made the point, didn't he? So.
though, Jesus said, we need an action plan. A spirit action plan. What are your strengths? Because your strengths are your design. Your strengths are like the free gifts that God has given you in your life for Him to build upon. You know, maybe you're an organizer. Maybe you're, you know, an evangelist. Maybe you have a heart for hurting people. Maybe you have a heart for kids. Maybe you have a heart for the more mature adults. Maybe you have, I don't know. But you have strengths. Maybe you're good at telling people about God. That's great. Maybe you're good at reading the Word. That's so important. Maybe you're really good at praising God. But what's your weakness? Dropping stuff on the floor. Distracting in the middle of a really awesome point. You know, everybody has their... My God. Exercising. Oh, God. She comes in my office and just throws things on my... Just walks in and throws stuff on the ground. I'm like, You know, at least you're entertainment for me. I don't... But how many of you know she's also a woman of God? Amen. And when you need prayer, she can pray. She's probably got more people spirit-filled in this church than anybody else, because she believes that when she prays for them, they're going to receive it, and they do. It's just the way it is. She also pushes people out of their comfort zone because she learned how to do that. So if you know what your weakness is, if you know what your weaknesses are, and if you haven't evaluated what your weaknesses are, how will you improve? You know, it's tough. I've been repenting before God all week. As soon as He started telling me we needed a spirit action plan, my heart was breaking, because I'm like, I thought we had a spirit action plan. I mean, I'm like, we're a spirit-filled church. I mean, you know. I announced to everybody evidently last week that we were all cute. And so, you know, we're cute here. You know, you should love us. You know, we're cute. But are we, besides being presence-driven, are we powerful people enough to admit what we're missing and go after God and do what He asks us to do? Are we willing to change something in our life in order for our life to be the change for somebody else's life? I mean, are we playing church, or are we the church? Because we can be so easily distracted by the enemy and so easily defeated, and we take a step forward and two steps back sometimes because we don't know how to handle anything that hurts us. It's about time that we let God hurt our heart. Let Him dig a little bit inside of there until it hurts so good. Until we say, God, I really don't care what it's going to take. Just tell me what it is that you need to change. And then let Him give you a spirit action plan. You know, we're not going to change unless we take steps to change. Anybody ever, like, do you really think that if you go to the gym and you stand inside of it, that you will grow muscles? I mean, if that was true, everybody would sign up and we'd just stand there. Because it takes no effort. Well, it did take some time. But, you know, the people who believe in, well, you know, I'm really going to sacrifice in order to get what, you know, pump it up. They actually take time out of their day to go do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Except for what kind of time are you taking out of your day to pump yourself up spiritually? You know, people tell me I don't have enough money to do that. Really? You don't have enough money to go learn something from God that you know is a weakness in your life, but you have enough money to go to Starbucks every day. Or, I don't know, what do you spend your money on? I mean, maybe you like shoes and you can spend $100 on shoes. I can't imagine that, but some people can. He could. I'll go on Amazon, order, oh, I need this. Boom. And you better bring it in 2 days or I'm mad. Because I want it now. I'm mad right now because I can't get my paper towels without going to the store. I don't want to go to the store for paper towels. It's supposed to show up on my doorstep. What's wrong with them? They forgot their commitment to me. You see? That's the kind of people that we are. We expect everybody else to jump at what we desire. But when are we going to jump at what he desires? I mean, I'm not saying this to you to be mad at you or to think that I'm not pleased with everything we're doing. I'm just as excited as you are for all of the good things that we're doing. I think we are amazing. I think we do a lot, but I don't think we do enough. Well, you need to write that down. I might be doing a lot, but I'm probably not doing enough. Because until we can look at what God has for us, and we can say we are 100% loving him with 100% of our heart, 100% of our soul, 100% of our mind, 100% of our strength, and we are loving others the same way we love ourselves, we are not doing enough. But imagine. You know, not everybody's going to be excited about that. About doing something different, but you can be. And you should be. Because we came here because we call ourselves Christians. And we came here to learn and to grow, and we came to be like Christ, right? Isn't that why you come? You know, you can come and you can... I mean, I've grown in my ability to preach after 25 years, 27 years, whatever it is. I don't even know. I should be able to preach better than I used to be because I've exercised it. I've exercised it. And I actually really care about what I bring. I study, I pray, I care about what God's saying. I try to get you guys engaged. I do what I think is the best, but it's not the best. It's what I discovered this week about myself. It's not the best. Because if it was the best, we wouldn't have a problem with getting other people to engage because we'd be running around helping each other to engage more. We'd be making sure that we stay connected. We'd be making sure that we're winning the lost. We'd be going the extra mile, and we wouldn't really care what it actually cost us because we're so in love with the Lord that we're willing to lay down our life. That if someone said you have to either deny Jesus or I'm going to shoot you, we should volunteer. You know, what are they going to do? Send me to heaven? I'm going to heaven. What? That's such kind of a good deal. But how many people are going to sign up to be a martyr right now? Not in America. We won't even lay down our day. We can't even lay down an hour. We can't lay down twice a week. My God, she wants us to go to church on Wednesdays. What? Can't go to prayer. We have to engage people on a telephone.
We're too busy to show up to church and get together and just cry out for God and just say, Jesus, I can't stand it where I'm at. There's more of you I need to know because I'm not being who you called me to be. And there's people dying and going to hell because I haven't cared enough to cry out to you for you to change me so I can be an example of you on the earth so that when they walk with me, they say, oh my God, I've never been with anybody that loves Jesus anymore. It was like being with Jesus. Where are those people? Why don't we fall on the floor together and worship God and cry out for him and ask him for more? Why aren't we desperate for him? Because we're not desperate for them. Because he hasn't taken our heart and crushed it into what he wants it to be, because we haven't given him permission. We just want permission from him to do what we like to do. Well, I'll go to prayer because I like to pray. Well, goody two shoes for you if you like it. What if you don't like it and you go to prayer? I am preaching to me too. Just so I don't think I'm all that. Listen, you got to hear my heart today. I am dying on the inside. I don't want to be some church. We're just happy about the few things we're able to do. Dear God in heaven. I don't want to memorize scripture and not act on it anymore. I don't also want to be who you depend on. Pastor Don, we'll do this and Pastor Don will do that. Well, Pastor Don is done doing everything for you. I will help you any way I can. I'm never going to not love you enough to sacrifice for you. I don't care about that. It's part of my life. It's part of my gift. That's my gift. But I want you to go to him and find out what you are supposed to do with him for them. And that's what I need to do too. I love coming to church and worshiping God and having fun. And then, you know, it is my practice to always say to people, well, what'd you get? And you know that even after service fresh, they can't even always tell me, what am I doing then? Another sermon that nobody remembered. Great. Worse. Another life-changing service. Another life-changing worship. Another life-changing sermon where nobody's life changed. And they didn't go change anybody else's life. Well, I don't know how to do it. Well, you can find out. You know, we have a whole school that we designed called LTCI. You know why we don't do it anymore? Because nobody'd come. Yeah. 2 years. We have 2 years worth of curriculum to teach you how to overcome the devil, to teach you the different ways of praying, to teach you how to witness, to teach you how to take things in the Bible and really get the meat out of it, to get you to understand what you really believe and why you believe it. Why don't we offer those things anymore? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's because no one comes. So nobody's hungry enough to give their time
Nobody's hungry enough to apply it to their life. They just think, I'm a good Christian. I love Jesus. I'm flapping my arms on the inside. No, Jesus. All right. I don't want to flap on the inside anymore. You know, people want to build a church so they can have numbers. I have never been a number person, as you can tell. I don't care. I am about quality. I am about raising up people who know who they are in God and then taking action because of it. And so I guess this is just my honesty before you, is that I'm sad about me before God. I'm sad. I'm like, God, I don't want to let you down. With all the good things I've ever taught, with all the I've gotten people saved this year. I've laid hands on people. They got healed. I mean, you know, I prophesy to people. I do all those things. But then I read in the Bible that it says that you laid hands on people, you cast out devils in my name, and I never knew you. It says that. I'm like, my God, what if I'm teetering on I never knew you? What if just because I knew you once, that you don't know me now because I'm depending on what I used to do instead of what I do now? When I came to know the Lord, you could not keep me out of the Word. You couldn't keep me out of prayer. You couldn't shut me up. I had to tell everybody about Jesus. I've been telling people about Jesus my entire life. But you know, there's those times and seasons when I guess he just yanks me back and says, hey, what about this? What about how many hours will you spend with me? How much do they need you? Are you willing to lay down your life today with me, so that somebody else can benefit from it or not? And he gives you the option. And then our stomach growls. And we get up and go to the refrigerator, or we go out to eat, or... And I'm like, God, I don't even want to do anything except for be with you. Until I'm so saturated with you that it doesn't matter where I'm at, that if they even look at me, you're going to spring out of my eyeballs. If they touch me, they're going to go, what was that? If they're around me, there should be a significant difference in the atmosphere. Somebody should be going, I don't know what you have, but I want it. And that's where I'm at. I mean, all I can do is invite you to be as horrified at yourself as I am at myself. Is that we are excited about what we have been able to do, but we're not excited about what we haven't done. So, you know, okay, so I'll just repent and you guys can do whatever you want, because that's what you're going to do. You'll either join me or you won't, and that's kind of where it's at with God. He's just like, here it is. Here it is. Now you have to decide. You have to decide what you'll do with what you know. And what I know is that we're not the church without spot or wrinkle. Not yet. Who can be. So, Father God, I know that you're good. It's solid inside of me. I know how good you are. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of what you're going to ask me to do, because I know if you ask me to do it, You equip me to do it, Lord. I hang on to the truth of you are my good God. You are my good God. And Lord, you even said if I saw and recognized that I had sinned, if I just told you about it, if I just told you about it, you'd forgive me, Lord. You said you'd clean me up. And Lord, that's what I'm desperate for. I'm desperate to know you more, Lord, because someone else needs to know you. Lord, I say I love you, but I don't know. I don't love you enough to do everything you ask me to do. That's obvious. I'm sorry, God. I'm so sorry. I just want to be like you, Lord. I want them to know you because I know you. I want them to see you because I reflect you. Lord, I'm so well aware that I can't share you with anybody until I've been with you enough to talk about you personally, because I've been with you. I have felt your touch. I have seen your eyes. I have seen them drill right through my soul. I have seen them capture my heart and change it. Lord, crush my heart and mold it again to be just like yours. Just like yours, Lord. You only did what you saw the Father do. You only walked where he said to walk. You only said what he told you to say. God, I don't know. Fix my lips. Fix my eyes. Oh God, return us to our first love. Oh God, return us to our first love. Oh Lord, let us see the necessity of not holding anything back. Lord, let us not make excuses. Oh, Jesus, I have so many excuses. Lord, Lord, even when you try to talk to me about something, I can always tell you the reason. I can tell you the reason why. But Lord, I don't want to do that. I want you to tell me the reason why I need to change. I need you to tell me how to do it. I need you, Lord. I need your spirit plan. I need your spirit plan to change my weaknesses, God. I need a change that changes forever, not a day, not an hour, not a moment. I need you to open my eyes and let me experience what you need me to experience, God. Whatever you need to do to get my attention and to steal my affections back.
Said things properly, Lord, just let me speak with words of fire that came from your voice. Let me change people's lives with your love. Let me be the force on the earth that you created me to be. And God, increase my willingness to surrender. When I'm going to do something instead of giving you attention, just accost me so I can put my attention and affection back on you. And then send me, Lord, wherever you want to send me. Open my mouth whenever you want it to open, and shut my mouth whenever you want it shut. Not to memorize your word, but let me to become the word like you were. Living, breathing, speaking, releasing power. That is my desire. Lord, change patterns of comfort, what I go to for comfort, Lord. Entertainment, God, for there's nothing like your entertainment. There's nothing like it. You are actually fun to be with, God. You are actually fun. Take everything, Lord. And just make it be real for them, Lord. That's all I ask. Deal with hearts in Jesus' name. Be nothing else. I don't know. Whichever one. That's all I can say is get real with God. Come to the altar, and the altars are open. I hope everyone is posturing yourself before the Lord however you can, however you should, and giving him permission to do what is necessary, that you're really laying it all down. So I just don't feel like we can end anything like this. I think he has to just have his way. If you need to leave, and that's okay, you can leave. If you want to stay and pray, that's all good. It's time to return to the heart of the Father. And so I pray that this will change you in some way, and that you won't forget. You won't forget.